Hey, this is Jim Larrabee. I'm the lead pastor here at First Christian Church, and this is our podcast. My prayer is that the words you hear encourage you, that they challenge you, that they build your faith and draw you closer to Jesus. So enjoy. Hey, good morning, FCC. Hope you are doing well. This toward the end of June, I don't know if it's summer here yet. It was summer for a couple of days, and now it's not summer anymore. I am freezing. So anyway, I hope you are enjoying whatever this is that we call on the Central Coast, and you're having a great time, because, we are rolling into some fun days in the life of the church. A few things that you're already hearing about, a couple that I'll give you. While I'm giving you some just some shout-outs, though, go ahead and find the chapter 8 of the book, 1 Corinthians. That's where we're going to be. We're kind of cranking through this book. I told you our goal was to be at the end by the end of the summer so we can start something new. And I think we're going to be able to do it. We've got some great momentum as we're working through this. And I will probably cover most of chapter 8 today. And you'll kind of see what's going on there. While you're doing that, just a verbal reminder from me to you that July 6th, which is kind of the July 4th weekend, July 4th hits on a Thursday or Friday. Anyway, if you do the math, that Sunday is July 6th. We're going to have a party around here. It's going to be amazing. We love celebrating just life and freedom, those who have made freedom happen for us. And we have so many of those folks in our service, from the military to the first line, first responder people, to police, all that, right? All those people that keep us where we need to be going. We love celebrating that. And so we're going to be having a big celebration July 6th. First two services, then we're not going to do third service. And then we're going to have a party outside, slide. Bounce houses, snow cones, cotton candy, donuts, laser tag, you name it. It is going to be a blast. Make sure you're a part. It's going to be absolutely incredible. We're going to have a lot of fun doing that. So anyway, that's the big thing to keep in your mind. It doesn't really impact you. You just show up first service, and then you just stay or hang out or go grab breakfast and then come back. Anything for you, so it should be easy first service. So just giving you a heads up on that. The second thing I want to give you a heads up on is, obviously, this is turning into a little bit of the summer of prayer for our country. A lot of things going on, a lot of things happening, and I just want to always just keep reminding us to pray for our country. Pray for the people. Pray for the people that need compassion and grace and love. There's a lot of things happening in the community. Of the people that connect here at FCC, and this is my, just give me my personal thing here. You might see it differently, and I'm okay with that. We can be different on this, but FCC is a safe and sacred space, because I am so committed to people hearing the gospel, and I want you to know that as your pastor. That's my heart. That's who I am. So anyway, we want to be praying for those people that are wrestling in tension right now in our country, but we also want to be praying for our leaders, that they have wisdom. A lot of decisions are being made, and so we just want to pray wisdom and God's grace on our country. So the summer of prayer for our country. Can we do that as a church? Good job. That's most of you. If you didn't say yes, then I'm going to be praying for you. So anyway, we are going to be doing that, lifting you up. And then, of course, we got baptisms today. None first service, but we are going to be having a couple that are just going to be amazing. One of the stories just hits me really in the heart. So some beautiful stories that we'll be getting to you about the baptisms that are going to happen. All right. Did I give you enough time to find every book in the Bible? Yes, I did. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 is where we are. And in this portion of the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul has gotten to some Q&A. He's gotten, that Chloe is sending questions and Paul is giving answers. So that's kind of how this whole thing is rolling. There's questions out there and Paul is answering some of these questions. And today's question that begins chapter 8 is kind of weird. It is okay. It is absolutely okay for you to come across something in the Bible. If you read it long enough, you will find something that you will read and go, that is weird. I remember the very first time I was reading through the Old Testament, and I came across the story of Sarah, Abraham's wife, getting so mad at Abraham because of the circumcision of Isaac that she took the foreskin and threw it at him. I still have no idea how to preach that. I will one Sunday, but anyway, so you just read that and go, that's weird. And so I just totally shocked my first row people. Yes, this is not a practice that we are invoking here at FCC. what's the point? The point is this, you're gonna read stuff in the Bible sometimes that just sounds odd, it sounds strange, it sounds a little weird. And here's what you have to do when you get to those moments, those stories, those things, right? You recognize that you don't just throw those things out. Like God has these stories, these statements in the Bible for a reason. That's a moment where you can just kind of peel back the layers and look at the bigger truth that God is communicating, because God is always communicating his truth to us. And that is going to be an important thing to know when you start reading 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Because it starts with something that's a question very specific to the situation of first century Corinth. So if you were to go back to Corinth, this would be a raging question in their church, but it absolutely is not a question that we really have today, but there's still some good truth to it. And so there's relevance for us. Now, I've totally piqued your interest, right? Some of you are like, what in the world are we going to talk about today? Jim has said it way over here in the Old Testament. Where are we going today? Let me read the question and let's talk about it. This is what Paul says, the question he's answering, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now, concerning food offered to idols. So you can see how this is a very specific question that doesn't really relate to us. Now, I know that we love our Santa Maria tri-tip around here, and I'm just gonna assume that none of you worship your Santa Maria grills that you cook it on. Some people do. I hear you. But for the most majority of us, right, like this, we read this and go, man, I can skip chapter 8 because Paul is answering a question that really isn't relevant to me. But there is some powerful truths, some bigger issues that this draws out that's relevant to every single one of us here at FCC. And that question, that truth, that thing we want to wrestle with through chapter 8 today is simply this. How do we handle situations and decisions that aren't black and white? How do we handle these things in the Christian life that fall into the gray area of truth and wisdom and right and wrong? Because that's actually what Paul is getting at in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, when he says this, hey, you know, now concerning meat offered to idols, he was wading into a gray area for the Corinthian church. This was a situation that if you were a Jewish person, you remembered Exodus, I think it's 34. You remember Exodus 34 when God says, hey, you know, don't get involved in idols. Don't get connected to idols. Don't do anything with idols. Don't need anything. Just stay away from idols in general. So the Jewish Christians were hearing that and they were like, whoa, this meat is offered to idols. We can't touch it. You're a sinner if you touch that, right? And so you had some of the church that were sitting here, and then you had some other portions of the church that were Gentiles that never had any of this Jewish history, that never had any of this Jewish law, that come to Christ and said, hey man, idols aren't anything. I don't worship those. That's just stone and rock and wood. And did you know that you could buy meat offered to idols at a discount at the market? This is true. So we are all in on discounts, my friend. That is a universal human truth. If there's a discount, if it's on sale, we'll buy it, even if the price is like 100 times more and they just deducted $10 to get you to buy the thing, right? So there's this movement in the church. We're like, hey, we're struggling financially, and so why can't we buy the discounted meat? I don't believe in the idol. I don't care about the idol. I worship God. Why can't we do this? And so it was one of those things that kind of fell into the gray area of Christian living. Now, for some of my rule followers in the house, the very idea of a gray area is just hurting your heart right now. You're like, you can barely sit here. You're like, I'm gonna go find another church today, right? Like, it's a wrestle. If you're a black and white person and you look at everything in scripture, just black and white, God has a black and white answer for everything, then this is going to be a little bit of a wrestle. This whole concept of a gray area where we're kind of deciding what is it that God actually wants for us. And I honestly can appreciate that gray area. My wife is one of those black and white people, lovers. It falls either yes or no. There's just not maybes in her processing and thinking the way most things in my life are maybes. And so I'm like, if it's a rule, then maybe not, I won't follow it. Just kind of depends on who said it and how I'm feeling. So this is one of those things that kind of fall there. Now, having said that, let me set another boundary because my non-rule followers in the house are basically thinking this, today is my day in church. It's about time Pastor Jim talked about the gray areas. The Bible is absolutely clear on so many things that impact our life. It gives us clear answers on love one another, pray for one another, even our enemies, right? It gives us clear answers on not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, seek God's kingdom first, his heart, you know, that clear answers on what God considers sin. Absolutely, the Bible is so clear on all of those things. There is clarity for things that we need to have clarity on that are yeses, and there's clarity on things that need to be no's in our life. Don't steal, don't covet. But don't commit adultery. Don't hold on to unforgiveness. There are clear yeses and no's in the Bible, but there are a lot of things in the Bible that God just simply doesn't put in the clear right and wrong category, which always surprises people when I say that. Whenever I talk about this in these contexts, it always surprises people that I tell them God really has given us freedom to make certain choices. Really? He has? Yeah. Jesus talks about how he came to set us free, that we've been given this freedom to live this beautiful life of Christ and to follow him. There's freedom. So how does God do this? Obviously, he sets the big boundary. Scripture gives us the big boundary of the yeses and nos, the right and wrong, the sin, but everything within that boundary, he gives us a choice. He simply says, hey, listen, this is for you to decide what you're going to do and how you're going to live. You have that choice. Great example of this, and I'll just kind of make some of my examples personal today for you. A great example of this is alcohol, right? I grew up in an uber conservative church. It was the buckle of the Bible Belt. I mean, it was deep south, right? And this just happened to be the church that my family started going to, where I came to Christ in. And so I have some great memories of this church, right? But the mantra was, don't drink, swear, or chew, or date girls who do. And so that was kind of that was the line, man. That was the line. And so, well, in Alabama, that really slimmed down the whole pickings of who you could go out with. I'm totally picking on my Alabamaites. We can say this stuff about ourselves. So anyway, and I remember this. And so alcohol was just, it was just a sin. You couldn't even walk on that aisle when you went in the grocery store. You know, if they were to show up in California and they would see these beautiful vineyards that we have here on the Central Coast, they would call it the landscape of hell. I mean, it was that intense when it came to those kind of things. And as I got older and began to study the Bible, I discovered that actually drinking alcohol is not a sin. What is the sin? Ephesians 5:18. When you get into the scripture, here's what the sin is. And many of you know this. And do not get drunk with wine. For getting drunk with wine is debauchery, but instead, here's what you need to do, be filled with the Spirit. So, for the average Christian, having a glass of wine or maybe your favorite IBC is not a biblical rule or thing that you're breaking. Here's the gray area. Here's why I bring this up as an example of a gray area. If you are a recovering alcoholic, and many of our church are, if you are a recovering alcoholic or you have struggled or currently struggle with drunkenness in any way, shape, form, or fashion, even though God has given you the biblical freedom, like you're not breaking a rule, you would be absolutely crazy to get anywhere near alcohol. Amen. Amen. That's your trigger. Don't do it. Don't get anywhere near it. And so it's one of those things where it might be okay for one person who doesn't have that history, that baggage, that addiction, that journey, but absolutely wrong for another person who has all of that. And that's why Paul wrote about this even just a few chapters before. I didn't get to talk about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, but Paul gives us this beautiful statement about these things that exist in the gray area of Christianity, and it's this: all things are permissible for me. And he's not talking about the sins, right? God has said no, no, no to certain things, absolutely. But in the things that are okay for us to do, Paul says, all things are permissible for me. But you know what? Not all things are beneficial. Some of you need to get this tattoo. All things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. And Paul's like, hey, this is what I need you to know. This is what I need you to understand. It's the foundational truth for so much of our Christian life and Christian journey, especially with the things that might fall into the gray area. So what should our question be as Paul is talking about meat offered to idols, or we're talking about alcohol, we're talking about any other thing where there's just not a clear right or wrong answer to it? Is it permissible, but is it beneficial? And then Paul begins to unpack this even more. He's going to give us a little bit more with this in the following verses. So he says this, verses 1-3. Now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. We understand this, right? And sometimes we can even possess so much knowledge that it puffs us up. But love is what builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, that you know all about a thing, right? And he does not yet know everything that he should. What is Paul saying? Paul is addressing something I think is really important. Sometimes our personal experiences, and we all have personal experiences with certain things, aspects, situations, truths, right? Sometimes our personal experience can feel like absolute truth, and we can start applying it to other people as if it's absolute truth for them. Like, hey, this is right for me, and if this is right for me, and if this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I need to do, then it's going to be right for everyone else that follows Jesus Christ. And what Paul is saying is that's the puffed up knowledge. We kind of get puffed up in what we think we understand, and we start applying it to everyone else. I know what's best. This is my experience. So this is what you need to do. Now, while it is not a bad thing to share our stories to help others, man alive, I love it when we do that. Some of you got some of the most beautiful stories I've ever heard. You share them, they encourage me, they help me. Some of you got some experiences that I need to know. You know, our kids are getting a little older than that teen and young adult age, and I love your wisdom. You offer Jen and I wisdom. We're like, yes, this is awesome and it's amazing. Thank you for your experience. Thank you for your story. Thank you so much for helping us in this area of life. But what we absolutely have to be cautious of doing is elevating our story and our experience to the level of God's truth. You ever seen anyone do that? Hey, this is my experience. This is my story. Oh, so now it equates. Now God said, this is what you have to do. Paul says that's dangerous. In fact, he even goes on and drops this in verse 6. He says, listen, your story is not God. Your experience is not God. I am not God. You are not God. Instead, he drops this verse. This is verse 6. For yet there is only one God. So interesting that he puts this in here, right? And yet there is only one God, the Father from whom we are all things and for whom all things exist. One Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through all things we exist. Paul says that's the driving force behind us, man. We go to God. We go to his word. We let him define exactly who we are. And then Paul pushes it even deeper, verses 7-8. This is where he really starts getting good. However, not all possess this knowledge. Not everyone sees it this way. Not everyone gets it. Some people still wrestle, right? But for some, through former association, because of history, because of past, because of baggage, with idols, being specific to Corinth, but we can apply this to ourselves, eat food as really offered to idols. They eat it and they're like, oh my gosh, this is an idol food. This is an idol food. And because of that, their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not condemn us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat it, and no better off if we do. I love what Paul says here, right? Because he gives us these words of freedom from unnecessary guilt, shame, and struggle that we sometimes feel in these gray areas. Man, we see people's experiences, we hear their stories, and we get afraid. Man, I don't want to break God's heart. I don't want to sin. I want to do that. And so we carry this weight and this guilt and struggle. And Paul's like, hey, listen, the food doesn't defile you, whether you eat it or not. It is all about God's heart and who he is and how we are following him in truth and integrity and grace and love. That's what Paul is getting us to. And I'll just circle back to that personal experience with alcohol, right? Because I think it's really valuable here. Here's my personal journey. You ready? Even though I grew up with that uber conservative, you know, biblical stance on alcohol, obviously read scripture and understand what the real truth is. But my personal stance, how I live my life, is I don't touch it. I don't do alcohol personally. Jim, oh my gosh, don't you understand the Bible? I absolutely understand the Bible, and I know the freedom that scripture has given me, but you probably don't know my story. You don't know my history. You don't know that I grew up with alcoholics in my home. You don't know the abuse. You don't know the trauma. You don't know any of that, but I do. And so because of that, when it comes to just alcohol in general, if anyone has the gene to be an alcoholic, it's gonna be me, like twice over, dude. I do avoid that aisle that's in the grocery store. And that is my heart, and that is my story, and that's who I am. So sometimes when I'm around all of that, right, I get sad because of what I remember. I get angry because of what I've experienced. I sometimes even go to, just confession, unrighteous judgment for what I see people do when they drink, right? What is Paul doing? Paul is calling me out. He's not calling you out. Paul is calling me out and saying, Jim, it's not the food. It's not whether they drink or don't drink. It's not the situation or the circumstance that makes a person better or worse in these gray areas. It's how much is that person letting God define them, control them, guide them in what they do. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for pushing back on sometimes my unrighteous judgment. Thank you, Jesus, that you push into me and remind me of the freedom that we have. And it's just this powerful thing that God gives us as Christians. So if someone is loving Jesus and following truth and honoring God in their freedom, then God has given us a clear mandate that they have the freedom to do these things that they do. I can't let my baggage, my history, my issues steal their freedom in Christ. I'm gonna say that again because I think it applies to way more here than just me. I cannot let my baggage, my issues, my history steal someone else's freedom in Christ. That's so important. So important as we're doing this journey in a Christian context where we are all so very different and have different histories and different stories and different experiences. It is so powerful for us to grab this so that we can do community together well. Now, ready for the flip side? There's a flip side, right? Here's the flip side. If you have that freedom, if you're someone that has that freedom, man, you just don't have history and baggage and you grew up in a great family who gave you great truth, and man, you are just so solid and you're living in this amazing freedom. What does Paul say to you? Paul says this, just be aware of the people around you. Verse 9, but take care. He's just unfolding this conversation. But take care that this right that you have, this freedom of yours, does not somehow become a stumbling block to those who are weak. Here's what Paul says to us. While he absolutely loves and celebrates the freedom that we have in Christ to worship how we want to worship, to live in the freedom that God has given us, to enjoy the world that God has created, and he's created an amazing world, Paul reminds us that the heart of every Christian should be to help those who may not be living in the same freedom. That when we come together, it's not about me and what I want and my desires, which is a theme through the book of 1 Corinthians, right? It's about what's going on in other people's lives around me. It's about what is God doing. It's about me embracing how to help other people grow closer to Jesus. And we do that three ways, and this is where we're gonna land the plane. The first one is this. Be willing to limit my own freedom when I'm with those who might struggle. This is verse 13. Paul says this, therefore, if food makes my brother struggle, I will never eat meat lest I make my brother struggle. Now, Paul is obviously being a little intense here. He had people in his life that did struggle. Obviously, he's writing about them, and Paul does go on to eat meat. So he's just like saying, hey, it's not like I'm just going to become a vegan just because someone in the world might struggle with eating meat. He's saying, hey, when I am with you, and I know that meat is going to be a struggle, I'm not just going to roll out my Santa Maria barbecue pit and go, hey, smell this. You kill plants. I don't know what's the matter with you. That's so horrible kind of thing, right? No, he says, hey, listen, when I'm around those that have this struggle, that have this issue, man, I limit my own freedom. I am willing to do that. And it's so beautiful and it's so powerful. I care enough about them to limit myself. What a beautiful way to approach these gray areas in Christianity, that we care so much about other people that we ask their story. What's your story? What's going on in your life? What's the journey that you've got? Oh, wow, man, there's a sensitivity there, right? Hey, you know what? Because of that, man, here's the things I'm gonna do while we're hanging out. Here's the thing. I'm not going to take my alcoholic friends to a bar. I'm not going to do these other, you know, there's some things that I'm going to change because I want to help my brother and my sister be who God's called them to be. Second thing is this: be committed to God's truth over our experiences. Every single one of us have experiences, and some of them are horrific, right? And because they are so hard and strong and impactful to our souls, it can be real easy for us to elevate those experiences for truth. What we need to be committed to is tying people to God's word and not our experiences. That we need to say, what does God say about this? What does God say about this? That's what God says, absolutely. This is what God is talking about. Now, how has he given us boundaries? He has, there's no doubt about it. Learn what those boundaries are, but recognize in the places where God has given us freedom, he says, choose, just know what God has said. Which brings us to the last point, and I think this is your best one to take away. We've already talked about it a little bit. Yes, it might be permissible, but always ask the question, is it beneficial? Does this help me become who Christ has called me to be? Does this help me love others? Does this help me grow in my faith? And if the answers to those things are yes, then my friend, go for it. Just be aware, not everyone will be in that same place. Not everyone will be in that spot of their journey. And so what are we called to do? We're called to exercise love and grace and compassion for people in our life. It's why Paul says this in way back in verse 3, right? That knowledge puffs us up, but love is what truly builds us up. And we practice love for each other, actually asking what helps us grow. What helps us become who God has called us to be? And in the chapter before, Paul ends it with this beautiful statement, because all of us are seeking in our lives, in our church, in our community, in our country, in our world, peace. We're seeking peace to be who God has called us to be, that the most important thing that we can share is the gospel, and we just aren't willing to make a stumbling block out of any other thought or experience or journey for anyone else. Amen? Amen. Amen. Pray for us and let God settle this truth through our heart. Some good stuff for us. Let it wrestle with you and see how he speaks to us this morning. Father, thank you. It's a challenging word. There's no doubt about this. As I think about my own issues, my own struggles, and man, just, I'm so glad that you are willing to call me out. You're willing to say to me, Jim, how are you caring for others? Jim, how are you elevating my experience sometimes to God's truth? And I confess and I ask forgiveness for doing that. Father, I pray that as we are parents, that we know how to walk with our kids and students and teens in these areas. I pray as we are husbands and wives, that we learn how to walk with each other. I pray as we're friends, that we learn how to guide each other and help each other in these journeys. I pray that as we're young Christians and old Christians, and that we learn to navigate with the truth that you've given us, and we give each other the grace that we need. Absolutely the truth, absolutely the challenge, Father, but most of all the grace to do this journey with each other well and to have powerful and real and transforming conversations about our journey with Christ. This is not a box that we live in. It is a life that we walk in with you, Father. So you do that supernatural work in our hearts and our lives this morning. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed today's podcast, don't forget to subscribe and share it with a friend. A special thanks to those of you who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that this ministry is possible. If you'd like to find out more information about giving or to see what's going on in the life of our church, please visit us at fccsantamaria.org. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.